As you know, this is a very strange world, this preaching to an empty church, bar Sam and Vicky, and they're both still awake. But I don't know at the end of the hymns whether we should say, please sit down. Have you been standing up? These are the questions that are all mystery at this time. As we come to look at God's word, you may want to just turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, which Tracy read for us. And, sometimes I'm getting tired of watching the news at the moment because it all feels like bad news. I know they have to fill 24 hours a day of news, but I want to this morning talk about some good news. Good news. And I want to talk about good news from this passage in Romans chapter 8. It's time we reminded ourselves of the good news. And the first thing I want to say from this passage is God gave the most precious for his most loved. In verse 32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God gave the most precious for his most loved. His most loved is us, his creation, his people. God gave Jesus to pay the cost for our sins. He gave him that we could have a new beginning, new life. He gave Jesus so that we do not need to fear even death. Jesus paid the cost for our eternal salvation. That is good news. And as we are being encouraged to stay in to save lives, that's a small cost to one who did something far more great, far more painful for us, to save lives. The good news message is our eternity was at risk, and Jesus paid the ultimate cost. The cost we are being called to pay is insignificant in comparison, and the reward for Christ's action are far greater than the reward for the actions we are being called to take. So the first thing from verse 32, God gave the most precious for his most loved. Secondly, we are not condemned. I noticed there has been an increase in the showing of Dad's Army on telly, and also you can hear it on radio channels, audio books, and those sorts of things. And one of the characters who I love in Dad's Army is the one who goes, "We're doomed. We're doomed, Mr. Mandarin." As we face more weeks looking at the four walls and trying to get to know one another, let me say this, we are not doomed. Whatever happens to us, we are not condemned. Verse 33, who will bring charges against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Satan condemns, God loves. This message of hope is for all who will accept. And maybe you've tuned into this service and you're watching this service because a family member normally comes to church and you're being made to watch this. Let me just say to you, God loves you as well. And he does not condemn you, but he wants to give you a brand new start. And you might be saying, but I'm not good enough, and I'm worried, and I'm frightened. Let me tell you, the Bible tells us that we can come to God who forgives us, who gives us a brand new start, and all we need to do is accept that gift. Thirdly, Christ is still at work for us. In verse 34, it says this, Christ Jesus who died, more than that, he who raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus Christ is still at the right hand of God, doing what? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's talking about us to the Father. Imagine you were in court. Maybe for some of us that's not so much of an imagination, but let's not go there. Imagine you're in court and you were reliant on somebody to speak up for you. And you've got a barrister. You would want the best, wouldn't you? You would want the best barrister. You would want the Rumpold of the Bailey or the Judge John Deed who's going to speak up in your favour. Well, this passage tells us we have the best interceding for us right now. This is not somebody who this is merely a job like a solicitor or a barrister. This is someone who has a vested interest in the success. This is Jesus Christ who is interceding in our behalf. He is there for us right now. And his vested interest is he absolutely loves us. And he's wanting to say to the Father, bless that child. Help that one. And friends, as we pray and intercede for one another, we don't do that alone. Christ is there with us. If you had a choice of anyone pleading for you, praying for you, who would you choose? You might say, well, I need the minister, or I might want one of the church leaders, or I know so-and-so who is a prayer warrior and I'd want them. But did you know that Christ is there for you? We have the best. Money cannot buy this one. He has a really vested interest in success. Jesus is interceding now on your behalf. So just pause for a moment. I want that to sink in for a moment. In this time of isolation, Jesus is still caring for us. And verse 35. We are not physically isolated from God. Verse 35 says this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Or social isolation? Or coronavirus? What's going to separate us from God? Nothing. The question Paul is asking, in one way, is a hypothetical question. What's going to separate us from God? What's going to separate us? And it's a question we must again ask ourselves. What is going to separate us from the love of God? We are separated from many things at the moment, from family, and for many this is such a huge thing. From parents. Oh, how we would love to go and give our mum and dad a hug at this time and say, we are together, but it's not wise. From children, from grandchildren, from loved ones you've had to let go into hospital, those in care homes, or those who are in other places where you cannot go. Paul is writing to the Roman church in a context of giving hope to a people who are losing hope. So let me ask this question again. What can separate us from the love of God? Well, there is an answer. We can. If we turn our back and run away, block God out, we can, in a way, cause ourselves spiritual self-harm. We can push God away. But that is the only thing. If we continue to read of verses 35 and 37, we see how there is an answer. It says, let me repeat those verse, that verse again, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? For as it is written, for your sake we shall face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And then verse 37 starts with the word, no. No. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. And so as I ask the question again, what can separate us from the love of God? Can anything? The answer we must be shouting back is no. No. Vicky's shouting at me. We will not be separated from God's love. In fact, let us turn our face and our lives towards that love and resolve at this time that we can get to know God better. To know that actually even in this adversity, in this trouble, in this hardship, in this past persecution, in this separation, we cannot be separated from the love of God. In fact, we can know it better. That great song, the greatest thing in all my life, is knowing you. I want to know you more. Maybe that's got to be a theme song for this season of physical isolation. And so I've talked about the fact that God gave the most precious gift, that we are not condemned, that Christ is still working for us, and we are not socially isolated from God. And I want to then say, we are not defeated. In verse 37 again, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, who loved us. In all things we are more than conquerors. And then Paul repeats in verses 38 and 39 of his total convictions. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future or any powers, neither height or depth or anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are not defeated, nor will we be defeated. God is with us. And finally, I want to say from verse 39 that I just read, we are loved and in God's presence right now. Nothing, says Paul, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Where you are watching this service right now, from South Africa to Birmingham and Northampton and the many places that I know people are watching this service, let me say, you are on holy ground. God is with you there. You are in the presence of the living God. You are loved by God, and Christ is with us by his Spirit. That deserves us to be excited that God has not deserted us. We are not separated from him. We are together with him. I want to remind you of something we began at the beginning of the year, the blessings jar. And you will have reminded us that we got, you know, you remember that we've been putting in those things that are blessings. And you know what? Maybe right now at this time of social, which way is that camera? It's that one, isn't it? At this time of social separation and isolation and nothing, there are still things we can count as a blessing. It's a blessing that we can still join together in worship. It's a blessing that we can still be together on the phone. And I want to give you one more challenge today. Start writing down your blessings and start sending them in. And we will print them out and we will continue to fill this jar and any other jars. What is a blessing that you have received this week? It might be as simple as, I managed to get through on Sainsbury's home delivery and it was a blessing when it came. It might be that somebody did something for you or you were able to do something for someone else. It might be many things. What are the blessings? I've seen one picture that's come in this morning already. That was a blessing of a family doing Hannah's Sunday school together where they were in their home. There are many things that are blessings. So alongside your photos of you worshipping, they'll start sending in blessings and praising God for the blessings you have. We are loved. We're protected. We're in holy ground. Let us remember the so many promises of God at this time. Receive the comfort they offer and the assurance that we are with God right now. Spend some time reading through this passage again from Romans 8, verse 31 to 39. And just dwell on those words that we are not separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the words that Samuel read to us earlier, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. May God be with you in your home. May God be with your family. And may you know God's presence in the holy ground where you are with us and worshipping. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we are not separated from you. We thank you, Lord, that we are not distanced from you, but you have come close and you come close. And Lord, I pray for each and every family watching this service right now. I pray where they are that your presence will fall. I pray your Holy Spirit will just dwell in the lives of each and every family. I pray, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, we will know your ultimate peace that comes from knowing you. Come, Lord Jesus, and bless those who are frightened. Bless those who are lonely, isolated. Bless those who fear. Come, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we together say, the Lord's my shepherd, I will not want. We thank you, Lord, we're not separated from you. We thank you, Lord, for your church, that even at this time when we can't physically meet, we meet together in this way. We praise you, Lord, for your love and gracious care. In Jesus' name, amen.